Maddie McNeil, usually sitting here at AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I am so happy to be with you. This is Nancy Nelson. I used to sit in this chair every single day. I miss it every day that I'm not here. And Maddie, I believe, is helping his parents move, as all good sons should do. And they needed somebody to sit in. So the boss called, Chad, and said, why don't you come over? And I said, oh, thank you. And there he is, the beautiful Brett, on the other side of the glass, seeing to it all this noise and sound goes out to you. How you doing, friend?
Hey, I'm doing great, Nancy. How about you?
I'm wonderful. I'm really, 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 really good. Thank you so much. Friends, I always, whenever I'm here, am most interested in what you have to say. I have lots of thoughts, and I could sit here and talk a lot, and chances are will, but I would prefer to have a conversation with you. And goodness knows there is so much to talk about. Our telephone number is 952-946-6205. And while I have some things at the forefront of my mind, I don't know, what do you want to talk about? Do you remember a year and a half ago and for 8 years where we frequently went days and sometimes weeks at a time without hearing any conversation on any media outlet about what the president is doing today or what the president said today? We, of course, knew things were going on behalf of our nation. I think it's stunning. We have become desensitized to the fact that every day, do you do it? I roll over and I click on MSNBC or CNN, and then I go back and forth between them, starting at about, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning. And as I'm rolling over to do that, I think, okay, what today? And then as you're tuned in, pretty soon they start to say, the president just tweeted. And then there's this sometimes barrage of tweets that range from irrational to insensitive to absolutely astonishing. The reason I bring that up is because it has to have crossed your mind. We are living in an altered universe where we in the United States of America now think that it is the norm that there is constant chaos coming from the White House every single day. And no comfort. You know, as we have just now with the tragedy last week in Florida, yet another, we have often heard the term comforter in chief. And as I think back and then look back and go on YouTube and pull them up, and you see the things that Barack Obama said. You see the things that George Bush said. You see the things that Bill Clinton said. And at a moment in your personal history, because what happens in this nation really does affect each of us personally for the most part, there was a moment when this person elected by our democratic system, even if you were not of their political party, stepped forward and said things to reassure you that we as Americans cared deeply for one another and about one another and would support one another. And it doesn't happen anymore. A woman is killed at a march where white supremacists are screaming obscenities about and racial epithets, and he doesn't come on television and on the radio to say, America, we have seen some of the worst things among us, but we will show the world and ourselves the best things, and why don't we do that? Instead, he came out and told us that there were bad people and good people on both sides. Of course, trying to convince us that the white supremacists who were marching and screaming racial epithets and were responsible for the death of an innocent woman attending privately and or publicly and peacefully a rally, that they were okay too. Well, they're not. I'm not suggesting we should ever get into the business of hating our fellow citizens. I'm very troubled by the word hate. I'm troubled how it manifests itself. But we can certainly recognize those among us who pose a danger to the very fiber of our society. And when they were right in our face, our president didn't even say that. He took several days to even go on camera to say anything about what just happened down in Parkland in Florida. And then he proceeded to tweet that it's the FBI's fault that 17 teachers, three teachers and 14 students ranging in age from 14 to 18, are all dead because the FBI is spending too much time on the Russian investigation. And if they had been paying attention, those children wouldn't be dead. He didn't comfort us. He used it as a political platform to tell us one more time that he doesn't like that he's being investigated and that the Russians messed around with our elections. And then, of course, we get to all of the politicians who one more time get on camera and say, this is tragic. Our thoughts and our prayers are with the families. And this is not the time to talk about any kind of gun safety reform. We are not going to politicize it, which simply means we refuse to talk about it when it is right in our face as to the fact that there is so much damage done because we in Congress are not fulfilling our sworn obligation to defend and protect the Constitution and the citizens that have elected us and sent us here. They are not fulfilling their constitutional duties, nor is the President of the United States, when they refuse to have a conversation. And then finally, we move to all of them who would say, oh, we got to get on this mental health issue. I'll tell you what, guys, I'm fed up. I don't want to discuss the mental health issue. It's real. It is of concern. We care for the people who suffer with it, and we are concerned about those who cause us harm because they suffer with diseases that are mentally related. This is a gun issue. It is an issue about access to guns. All the rest of it comes afterwards, and they want us to talk about all those dancing dollies over there and never talk about what it is. It's time. What are you thinking? 952-946-6205. Julie in Minneapolis. Welcome into AM 950. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Lovely to hear your voice, Nancy.
Well, it's lovely to hear your voice. Great. Julie, how you been? Have we met?
No. It's just lovely to hear you on the air again.
Thank you. Are you coming to the Blue State Ball? Julie, come to the Blue State Ball, Julie.
Oh, okay.
Come to the Blue State Ball.
My phone's breaking up a little bit. So you're going to be there, huh?
You know what? The boss just said, Nance, why don't you come over? And it will be so nice to see. I say friends, you know, every time I sit down in this chair, because I have to tell you, Julie, I feel like I'm getting together with friends. We share ideas. We share concerns. You call in. And it is such a kick and such a privilege to sit in this chair and have you call. Now, tell me what you called about.
Well, I've heard a couple of times that Trump's favorite character in American history and the favorite book that he really liked was written by P.T. Barnum. Now, I think of P.T. Barnum and the circus, and I think of the fact that P.T. Barnum, as you may recall, Nancy, is the one who said a sucker is born every minute.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also a master manipulator of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump has done exactly what he suggested to do. And Barnum was always saying, flood the media every day. just overwhelm the media with stories, and there's no such thing as bad publicity.
You know,
kind of sound like Trump.
I agree with you, Julie, that what he is so good at, when something is bad that we're talking about from his point of view, he starts something over there. So that, oh, look at that shiny object over there. Forget about Russia.
Right.
Oh, look at that shiny object over there. Can you believe we have a president who talked about grabbing women by the crotch? Forgive me, but that's what he did. And they elected him anyway. And now we have a prostitute who said, I got paid off $130,000. And a Playboy bunny who has come forward. And that's just two of them. And we barely even mention it. If the Republicans about Bill Clinton, I mean, they impeached or, you know, tried to fully impeach Bill Clinton because he lied about having some kind of sexual tryst with Monica Lewinsky. He lied about it,
right.
And they tried to impeach him. And there's no Republicans, no far right evangelicals coming forward and saying, hold it. This isn't what I signed up for, this immorality and this indecency. It's stunning that we're hardly even talking about it. But, you know, as you say, Julie, he's great at creating the next shiny object over there. Thanks so much for calling, huh? I appreciate it. Rich in Minneapolis, how you doing?
Hello, Nancy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm really great. You?
Oh, fantastic, except for that president we have. But anyway, the reason I'm calling about guns and something that seems to be being missed all the time by these Second Amendment rights people and the pundits. The Second Amendment still does say we do have a right to regulate them.
Yes,
even
it does.
Though everybody's supposed to have a right to have them, but we can regulate them.
So, a well-regulated militia.
Let me say this. When I go hunting, I'm only allowed three shells in my shotgun to shoot ducks and three slugs to shoot deer. I want the kids and my granddaughters to have at least as good odds as ducks and deer.
Oh, Rich, you know what? It's so important you put it that way, and you are a man who obviously likes your guns, spends time with them, appreciates them, respects them. When I say that this whole, I'm so tired of the mental health issue and the hinna issue, this is an access to guns issue. And primarily the gun that has been at the fault of most of these mass murders most recently in the last several years is a semi-automatic rifle. And we are selling and did sell to an 18-year-old who everybody knew had mental issues but hadn't been nailed them down yet, a weapon that we essentially created to send one of our soldiers to war with. And is not a single American citizen that should have the ability to own a weapon we send our soldiers to war with. They don't need it.
Exactly. And my point in telling you what I've told you is if they are going to still allow AR-15s, the maximum an individual should be allowed would be one clip with three bullets max. I want the kids to have as good a chance and odds as ducks and deer.
That's so well put, and I'm going to quote you more than once on this, Rich. Thank you very much, Rich from Minneapolis. And you know, the other piece of that, get rid of the semi-automatic rifles. We had legislation from 1994 to 2004, and it sunsetted, but you could not get semi-automatic weapons. You could not get weapons that people go to war with, and you shouldn't be able to. The other piece of this is we're going to have to get a handle on ammunition being bought in massive quantities, as Rich was just talking about. Of course, with these huge magazines and all of these multiple bullets that can be shot within seconds, we need to know who's buying 30,000 bullets. Why? We need to be able to know who you are and where you are and start being sure that you're not going to go into a school and mow down children, in 30 seconds. The number of rounds that you can fire off is just staggering. And I can promise you, when the Second Amendment was written, and our forefathers suggested the Second Amendment be written, they had no idea we were going to be talking about these semi-automatic rifles. They were thinking muskets. By the way, I'm going to take more calls, but a little later, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of the Second Amendment. And it is chilling if you read the history as to why we actually have the Second Amendment. It is nothing to be proud of. David in New Hope, how you doing, friend?
Hi, I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking the call.
David, wait just one second. I'm not reading the clock in the studio properly. Brett, you darling person, our boy wonder engineer here, what you have to do, Brett, I'm totally out of control. You actually have to get on the microphone and say, Nancy, take a break now, will you please?
All right, I will say it then, Nancy. We have to take a break.
Okay, so David in New Hope, please hang on because we're taking a break. I want to talk to you next. Phil is calling from New York. I'm going to get to you and all the rest of you. 952-946-6205. Nancy Nelson, friends here at AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you, not the IRS.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
Hi, Matt McNeil, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. It's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota. The Highlander is an amazing vehicle. Features an available direct-injected 3.5-liter V6 engine, a bold look, space for up to 8.5 USB ports, and tons of cargo space. Rudy Luther Toyota currently has 140 2018 Highlanders in stock with financing as low as 0.9% for 60 months, plus the great Rudy Luther service I love. Stop by for SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Nancy Nelson sitting in for the lovely Matt McNeil, off helping his parents move and sitting across the window here. We have a glass window, and on the other side of the glass window is beautiful Brett, who is doing his very best to control me today as we broadcast to you live from the AM 950 studios, the beautiful Palace of Versailles studio. And Brett, you pointed out to me when we came in, when I was on the air regularly every day for a long time, we were able to stream live video. Now I see there's a camera up here in the corner because
we are on Facebook doing live video, so if you like the AM 950 Facebook page, just go to our Facebook page and you can watch Nancy right now.
How's my lipstick? Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Fix my hair. I can't fluff my hair. I've got headphones on. Okay, so they can watch. Now there's a thrill watching somebody on radio, only to be followed by watching paint dry. but we're here.
They didn't make radio, so you couldn't watch it.
Yeah, well, or as I have teased for many years, as I've gotten older in this business and been in it so very long, I have developed the perfect face for radio. So here we are, AM 950. Please do call 952-946-6205. David in New Hope, bless your heart. You got to say hello, and then I asked you to be quiet. You waited through the commercial. I'm glad you did. Come on in. David. Hi, David.
Hello.
It's finally your turn. Finally. Oh, nice. Commercial over. Okay, thanks for waiting.
Nice to hear from you. I think a couple of things. Most of what I've heard so far I absolutely agree with. I especially like the one about the plugs in the duck hunting shotguns.
Isn't that interesting? He wants children
to get small clips.
Yeah, the gentleman David's referring to, Rich, earlier, said we should not be able to have more than 3, 4, or 5 bullets in a clip. That's as many as I can have in a rifle when I'm duck hunting, and I want children in schools to have as good a chance at surviving as ducks do.
Exactly.
Okay, then.
But here's an idea that I don't think very many people have thought about very much, and that is, let's treat guns the same way as we treat automobiles. I've heard an argument that say, well, cars kill people, and we're not going to eliminate the cars. But you know what? We can license the guns, license the gun owners, and get this. How about requiring a gun owner to carry an insurance policy?
Yes.
In case he hurts somebody
yes.
with his gun.
That has been brought up over and over again. And, of course, the NRA immediately says no. What's interesting about that, David, is you're absolutely right. If I drive a car that could harm somebody else, I have to have insurance. If I own a pontoon boat on Lake Minnetonka and somebody could fall off it, I have to have insurance. But I could go and buy a semi-automatic rifle that could wipe out a room full of people within seconds, and I'm not required to have insurance on this item that can cause such bodily harm. I have to have insurance on all other things that cause bodily harm in my life.
You know, and a very nice side effect of requiring insurance is that you wouldn't have to worry about background checks at all, because the insurance companies themselves would want to do background checks before they issue the policy.
David, you just put your name right in now for 2018. Let's get you into Congress. Yeah, what? Great. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling in.
Okay,
I appreciate it, David. Phil in New York. How are you, Phil?
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Well, I'm great.
Good to hear you on the air.
I'm great. Why are you calling us from New York, Phil?
Oh, my friend who lives in Mound turned me on to KTNF about 5 years ago. In fact, we met very briefly at the Blue State Ball years ago, but you wouldn't remember me.
How do you know I wouldn't remember you? How do you know? Were you the tall, dark, handsome one?
Yeah, I was the tall, handsome one.
Then
right?
You see, I do remember. It works. Thanks for listening to KTNF. Thanks for listening to AM 950 all the way in New York. It's a mighty little voice. Progressive radio is so hard to keep alive, and Chad has done such a remarkable job keeping it alive for a long time, and boy, do we need a progressive voice out loud. Thanks for listening.
Oh, it's a great station. I want to comment on gun control.
Yes.
I have a cousin in New York City. And he gave up his gun, and they had a gun buyback program.
Yes, and it was very successful for them.
What's that?
It was very successful. Man, did people turn in their guns.
I asked him, what would it take to get a gun in New York City? This is what he said, 3 things. A year-long waiting period, a background check, and 4 references. It's one of the reasons why New York City is much safer than it was years ago when they didn't have those kind of gun control laws.
And Phil, that's wonderful. And what a piece of the frustration whenever people talk about we shouldn't have any gun safety reform legislation, they say, well, New York and so-and-so has it, and so-and-so has it, and people are still killing each other all over the United States. Well, you can't. I mean, do they think people don't know how to drive out of New York to get a gun? I mean, it's got to be federally based so that it's all the same, so I can't drive to Wisconsin and get something I can't get in Minnesota.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's one of the reasons why it's statistically a safer city compared to other places where gun control laws are lax, there's more shootings.
Yes.
As simple as that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Phil. Thanks for listening. We love New York. It actually is one of my favorite cities in the whole world. Thank you, Phil, for listening. Folks, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Brett is playing music. That is a subtle hint. We're going to listen to some messages from the people who keep us on the air here. Pay attention to them and patronize them, won't you please? And, oh, come back. Sitting in for Matt McNeil here at AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Nancy Nelson.
The Nicolet Island Inn loves the romance of February. We have four events to help you celebrate, starting with our Sweetheart High Tea this Sunday. On Valentine's Day, we have a pre-fixed dinner menu for true romance. From the 18th to the 23rd, we celebrate Eat Week, where Chef has prepared a three-course dinner at a price you'll love. On February 23rd, the Cabaret Series proudly returns with Love Inspires, a dinner show of great performances of love songs. Don't miss the lineup of events. Space is limited. Check NicoletteIslandInn.com or open table for reservations and information.
The Berg Group in Chaska honors our fighting men and women of the military and all of the veterans who have gone before you. We salute you and thank you for your sacrifice. We understand freedom comes with a price. Our prayers go with you and your families. Stay safe, stay strong, and may God bless America. This military tribute is from the Berg Group in Chaska. Visit them online at berggroup.us, saying thank you to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that Better Energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 22. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around zero. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 21. And Thursday, snow with a high around 26.
It's time for Eat Week at the Nicolet Island Inn from February 18th to the 23rd. Dinner is a must for this three-course chef specialty at a price you'll love. Make a reservation today on Open Table or call us at 612-331-1800. We'd love to have you join us.
Friends, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Nancy Nelson. This is one of my songs. Come on, sing along, kids. You've got a friend in me. Yes, you do. You got a friend in me. So call in, let's talk. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. You've got a friend in me, you do. You know, sitting here, Nancy Nelson, thanks very much for coming back, friends. All the time I sat here alone and then for a very long time with my buddy, my good friend, the one, the only resident brainiac, I used to call him, Steve Booker. And, of course, I was raised singing with my dad constantly. I still sing constantly. And don't even know I'm doing it. And my dad would always say to me, Nance, you just keep right on singing and someday you'll get good enough to be able to carry a tune. Actually, that never happened. So I know that I'm off key And I just do it anyway. And Steve Booker used to look suicidal when he sat here. And didn't he, Brett? It was like, oh, she's doing it again. So I did. So there you are. I hope you were singing along with me. 952-946-6205. A lot of you have been sharing your thoughts on this whole gun thing that's exploded. And, you know, it's staggering. Here we go. Listen to this. I keep going back to this. What has happened in America cannot be put on mental health alone. We need to address that. In my estimation, this is about access to the wrong kind of guns. It's gun access. The semi-automatic rifle has become the weapon of choice for so many of these mass murderers over the last several years. And why wouldn't it? Because within seconds, they can mow down an entire line of people. Let's start. I'll just go to 2012. 2012, Sandy Hook Elementary School. 28 people died, one of them, the perpetrator. He used a semi-automatic rifle. 2015, the San Bernardino attack in the office buildings, 16 people dead, semi-automatic rifles used. 2016, the Orlando nightclub shooting, 50 people dead, semi-automatic rifle used. 2017, Sutherland Springs church shooting, people at religious service on Sunday morning, 27 dead. Semi-automatic rifle used. Las Vegas shooting just last year. Over 500 people mowed down. 59 of them lost their lives. Semi-automatic rifles. Last Monday, Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. 17 dead. Semi-automatic rifles. In 1994, the United States passed a Recreational Firearms Use Protection Act. It was a subsection of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994. It sunsetted and went away in 2004, and Congress would not reinstate it. It was signed originally into law by Bill Clinton. The act prohibited, and so many of the critics will tell us, well, it's very complicated now because, you know, there's so many weapons and it's hard to define what a semi-automatic weapon is. No, it's not. No, it's not. You can build them. You can define them. In 1994, the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act that lasted 10 years and should still be in effect, and they could resurrect it tomorrow. In exactly the same way it is written now. They could do it tomorrow. The act prohibited the manufacture, transfer, or possession of semi-automatic assault weapons as defined by the act. Weapons banned were identified either by specific make or model, including copies or duplicates in any caliber, or by specific characteristics that slightly varied according to whether the weapon was a pistol, rifle, or shotgun. The act also prohibited the transfer and possession of large capacity ammunition feeding devices. We had it for 10 years. Congress wouldn't reinstate it. They could use this exact word and verbiage, and we could have it tomorrow afternoon. It would be a start. And then Marco Rubio says, well, if you pass a law against these rifles and against these guns, they'll get them anyway. Yeah, right. People can do anything when they are determined enough, but you can make it a lot harder than it was for that 18-year-old boy mentally troubled who walked into a gun store legally and purchased a semi-automatic rifle, the kind we send our soldiers to war with. It would have been harder for him to get it. You start, but all we hear about is why we can't start, why we can't do it. Yes, we can. What do you think, kids? 952-946-6205. Gary in Minneapolis. How you doing, Gary?
Okay, well, I'm pretty extreme on this. If I had my way, these handguns wouldn't even be legal except for police, and then the police would be regulated, too, yes, for watching them. Because there's such shots, and you know, all these shootings going on in our cities. Look at Chicago, the mass killings. That don't get the attention all at once like these mass shootings. But the founders put in the Constitution, regulate these guns, and there's one-shot muskets when they said that. So maybe that's what they should have is one-shot muskets. But anyways, you look at – I've been over to Scandinavia, Sweden, and Norway, and you hardly ever hear these shootings. We're the only country in the world that has mass killings like this.
You're absolutely
and
Gary.
And mass killings in the cities, too, in the streets.
Gary, thank you so much. You are absolutely right. Thanks for calling. I'm going to get to the rest of you, 952-946-6205. But in reference to what Gary just said, the United States has more mass shootings than any other country on the planet. A mass shooting by United States federal law is defined as a shooting resulting in at least three victims being dead, excluding the perpetrator. When the definition is restricted to four or more people dead, the data shows 146 mass shootings between 1967 and 2017, with an average of eight people dead in each of those mass shootings. 146 mass shootings. Can you think of any other major issue that violently took people's lives? And we would say, oh, yeah, there's been 146 of those over the last couple of decades. Oh, too bad. Can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about it. Studies indicate that the rate at which public mass shootings occur has tripled. Mass shootings have tripled since 2011. Between 1982 and 2011, a mass shooting occurred roughly every 200 days. Between 2011 and 2014, there was a mass shooting at least every 64 days. And now we think it's normal. And these blessed children in Florida are raising a voice and saying, no more. And they're not going to let us ignore them. And it may be the youth who looks into a camera and says, do I have to be afraid that I'm going to be killed tomorrow like my friend was yesterday? Because you won't do anything, those of you who have sworn to protect the United States Constitution and its people. These Florida students may be the answer. You know, they have a big march coming up on March 24th. I hope that there is a presence here in Minnesota. And kids, we all need to be in the streets. Every one of us, until this is over. We have to change it. Nobody's going to but us. Steve in Minneapolis, welcome in. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
A little change of pace in talking about the guns themselves.
Okay.
The CDC was prohibited from keeping statistics.
Yes, it was. I happen to have a little information on that. They were indeed.
We need a protest in Washington where the protesters each take, print out a picture of a victim, brief biography of them, and they are responsible for that victim.
Mm-hmm.
And surround the Capitol with all the victims in this century. Starting in 2000 and just every,
Have a picture and have a name and assign. Have a picture, have a name, and assign them to a representative or a senator who refuses to take action to save lives. I like the idea. Thank you very much, and thank you for calling in. And directly related to what you say, the insanity of how strong the gun lobby is and how dedicated to the protection of the gun lobby that the Republicans, and because it is primarily the Republicans, not exclusively, but primarily. From 1993 to 1999, the CDC was funded to conduct 32 gun-related studies. But from 2009 to 2012, not a single one. And it's all because a man named James J. Dickey, a Republican congressman from Arkansas, in the mid-1990s led the effort to stop the CDC's gun violence research. He believed that if the CDC collected data on deaths by guns in the United States, like they do on deaths by cars, on deaths by falling out of a window, he wanted that one track of cause deaths to be eliminated by for the CDC. So he said he stopped the CDC being able to research gun violence in the mid-1990s. Actually, it became the Dickey Amendment, and it's still called that today, and it is still in effect today. And all the experts agree that it is impossible to have a reasonable debate about preventing gun violence when we can't even study the issue. Talk about a packed Republican effort. We won't even let the Center for Disease Control track what happens, how often it happens, the manner in which it happens of people who die from gun deaths. But let's not forget that while you can sue Wrigley's chewing gum if there's a little bump in the gum and it causes your tooth to chip, the Republicans have seen to it that you cannot sue a gun manufacturer for making a gun that wiped out an entire classroom of children. They have even protected the gun manufacturers that way. It's insanity. Reverend Jack in Minneapolis, come on in.
Hey, Nancy, nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice, Reverend Jack.
Awesome. Hey, listen, I'll get right to it. I have a lot of thoughts on this topic, but I'll just pick one. The guy that was talking about the cars and licensing the cars and stuff like that, I've thought about that, and he's absolutely right. Number one, you know, with the car, not only do you have to have a license, there are certain cars you can't, you have to have, they have different licenses, class D, class C.
That's right.
And, you know, I can't drive, you know, a semi-truck because I'm not qualified to drive one and I haven't been trained.
Right.
And so they won't let me drive that kind. I can only drive a certain kind of vehicle.
Right.
And, you know, the thing about, if, you know, people will just get it anyways, people will still, well, we have laws against drugs. We have laws against drunk driving. They want to have laws against abortion. If you say people just do it anyways, they're not going to say, well, then we, you know, I mean, I don't want that, but they, you know, this whole argument that, you know, criminals will still get guns. And one last thing is the, like, background checks. You know, up until very recently in Minnesota, and it's true in a lot of states, you can't get married. You get your license, you had to wait like 7 days.
Right.
Because they don't want people just making rash decisions.
Right.
And if you are, you know, upset, if you're drunk, if you're, you know, if something happens and you have a gun around and you might do something rash, but if you have to wait for a week to get that gun, you might calm down by that time, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Reverend Jack, I'm glad you're listening. Thanks very much for calling in. We're going to take a commercial break. Nancy Nelson here, sitting in for Matt McNeil at AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. When we come back, we still have time to listen to what you have to say at 952-946-6205. Ah, Johnny Denver, sing to us, honey, sing. Younger than the mountains,
growing like a breeze. This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about Ophelia Dahl, the daughter of acclaimed children's author Roald Dahl, who co-founded Partners in Health, a nonprofit that engages in bringing quality health care to the poorest nations in the world. Yes, Ophelia is an idealist to the nth degree. I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
How you doing, friends? AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hey, we're doing that one for my dad, Willie Nelson. When I sat here every day, Dad used to call in now and then, and this was his song, Willie Nelson, On the Road Again. Friends, it's nice to be with you. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Nancy Nelson in for Matt McNeil. Matty's helping his folks move. He's a good boy. He's a good son. I'm here with Brett, and I'm going to take your calls, 952-946-6205. You know, I'm talking about it's time to get the assault weapons out of the hands of the American citizenry. And those that already have them will have them, but you shouldn't be able to buy a weapon. An American citizen does not need something that fires off dozens and dozens and dozens of bullets in 10, 20, 30 seconds. And they do not need in their possession a weapon that we have made for our soldiers to go to war with. It's simply not something you get to have. We should not. We should immediately close the loopholes. We have all these loopholes. After Sandy Hook, we thought we'd get them closed. After 26 little children were mowed down, first graders, we thought at least we would get better background checks. Nope, the Republicans said nope, no background checks. No more than we already have because somebody might not be able to get a gun. God forbid that one person couldn't get a gun. Let's be sure that hundreds of others who could cause great harm and intend to cause great harm can have them. Let's err on that side, shall we? And then, of course, the loopholes for the gun shows. Maybe I can't pass the form that I have to fill out at a gun dealer in a store, but I can go to a gun show and I can back my truck up and fill it up with guns that I bought at the gun show, and nobody asks me who I am or why or where. And then, of course, again, after Sandy Hook, we here in the United States have what we call a no-fly list. It is made up of members of our society who have been identified by the FBI as potentially dangerous, potentially terrorists. We won't let them buy a ticket, but Congress refuses to pass a law that says they can't buy a gun. We are helping potential terrorists buy guns because Congress says, "Oh no, 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 we can't have a law about that." And one more thing before I go to Matthew, you're up next here from Egan. Thanks for holding on, and you too, kids. 952-946-6205. You want to know why we have the Second Amendment? Well, it wasn't because they were so in love with guns the way we are today. Of course, guns were a way of life. They hunted to eat. They protect themselves. By the time the United States Constitution was ratified, there were hundreds of substantial slave uprisings that occurred across the South. The blacks outnumbered the whites in significant numbers, and state militias were put together to hunt down and return escaped slaves to their owners before they managed to work their way north. And the southern states, as we moved toward ratification, came together and said, if you don't let us have our rifles so we can hunt those escaped slaves, we think you're going to take our rifles away from us and we won't be able to hunt those escaped slaves. And the only way we could get the South on board was to give them the Second Amendment, which says a well-regulated militia. They even called themselves militia when they went hunting for human beings who happened to be black who had escaped from slavery. That's why you have the Second Amendment to the United States of America. Matthew in Eagan, I am listening. How are you?
Hey, Nancy. You forgot to say one thing. It was only whites that could guns.
Of course. But yes.
I'm reading, and I have read several times, a book called The Second Amendment, A Biography.
A biography. So, interesting.
So it's by Michael Waldman, and it's a great book. It explains the complete history. But I'm a person that I want to give up on the Second Amendment, because it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. We've lost the argument. The Heller decision in the Roberts Court in 2008, or the decision was in 2009, you know, kind of basically said they put in their own ruling. They don't look at a militia. They don't look at the fact that they were muskets. But what I want to do, and I've been thinking of this for 5 years or since Sandy Hook, and I've contacted Democrats and Republicans, and, you know, a lot of people, it doesn't matter. Both sides are guilty on this, and they take money from the NRA. What I want to do is charge, because bullets are not in the Constitution.
Yes,
so
I know.
Let's start over. Let's charge $100 a bullet, and you have to have insurance when you buy bullets.
You know what? I think we'd have a hard time getting $100 a bullet, but I do believe that we ought to, people who own weapons of any kind that can cause harm, like my car can cause harm and I have to have insurance, should have to have insurance on them. And I do think that we have to have some legislation that allows us to be aware of people who are buying thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition.
But Nancy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
You cannot equate cars to these right-wingers, and because you know what they come back with? You don't have a constitutional right to have a car.
You're absolutely
right. You do for guns.
You're absolutely right.
So
you'll lose the
argument. We've been losing the argument. So we have to go to bullets and ammunition. And whether you have to have insurance or they cost $100 a piece, that's something we could legally do.
Matthew, you're not going to get any argument from me. We have to think about every single thing we can think of so that this insanity stops. Friends, golly, I've had a good time. Invite me back, will you? Nancy Nelson sitting in for Matt McNeil here at AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Across the glass from the lovely Brett, beautiful Brett, our engineer today. Thanks, Brett, so much.
No problem.
Friends, nothing happens if we don't do it. And we can. We just have to want to. Go out and make a difference.